This is Nancy Brewer. I'm going to call this meeting of the Municipal Debt Advisory Commission to order. Online commission members, we have Laura Lockwood McCall, Nick Hogan, and Bryce Static. That gives us a quorum, so if we need to take action, we can. We also have visitors, Martha Kellums, Marnie, I'm not remembering your last name, from Woodburn.
Anderson.
Thank you. Courtney Dawes, Jim Shannon, Carol Samuels, Cora from Zions Bank, Matt from Portland. So we are taking up the discussion on Legislative House Bill 2391 on the debt limit calculation. At our last meeting, Courtney and Carol agreed to do some additional research and trying to refine. And your packet includes a pretty nice long email from Courtney on what they discovered. Courtney, do you or Carol want to kind of sum up what we're looking for at this point?
Sure. I can give a summary of the email. Carol and I undertook an investigation regarding the proposed bill, and we talked to Department of Revenue and had phone calls and emails with them. And through our correspondence with them, we learned that maybe this amendment is more complicated than we thought. DOR had some suggestions for us if we wanted to pursue this proposal, for example, changing the source of the information from something that they produce anyway rather than the report that's currently referenced in there that is not required to be posted. And then they also offered us guidance regarding alternative proposals instead of referencing real market value in a Department of Revenue report. We discussed potentially changing the statute to reference the definition of real market value of taxable property for debt limit purposes. And in talking with DOR, Carol and I learned that the statutes are complicated, and adding or changing the definition could potentially lead to unintended consequences. So in summary, Carol and I concluded that this amendment is not as simple as we thought, and since it's an issue that has rarely come up, we wonder if it might be effective to pursue some clarification outside of the legislative arena at this time. Carol, do you have anything to add?
I would just sum up by saying the bottom line was that we concluded it was risky to amend a statute that it doesn't seem like any single attorney has a full sense of the implications, particularly for something that has only come up once in the 20 years since Measure 50 was approved. And it seemed like DOR was more than willing to send out guidance to county assessors, and we spoke to Lori Steele about this as well, and she thought it was reasonable that the county assessors want to be consistent and that they would respond positively to guidance about how DOR would go about doing this without resorting to legislation. So our conclusion and recommendation to you was that you leave well enough alone and figure that this will work itself out.
This is Laura. May I ask a question, Nancy?
Sure.
Carol and Courtney, do you think that the problem of touching it is because of the crazy quilt that is Measure 50? Is that what leads to the unintended consequences of just saying, for debt limitation purposes, this is how you calculate it? Is it because of Measure 50 itself?
Yes.
The reason I'm asking is that in the last 24 hours, I've had to do kind of a massive bill review of stuff in our office that have been introduced at the legislature. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's any number of House and Senate joint resolutions that would overturn Measure 50 or parts of Measure 50, which could make it even better or worse. But what I'm wondering is, if indeed a bill emerges that decimates Measure 50 that goes for constitutional amendment, would at that point, would it behoove us to try and participate in that so that we could clean this problem up once and for all? Or should we just sit on the sidelines and see what happens? If there is a bill that goes to the, you know, the citizens or a constitutional amendment that just says Measure 50 is gone.
Well, in point of fact, I spoke a little hastily and in shorthand. Really, this is a problem of both Measure 5 and Measure 50.
Okay.
But that said, you know, I think I'm speaking for Nancy as well. Eliminating Measure 50 and starting over is something that we have strived to
accomplish. There are bills that I've looked at that do take big giant chunks out of Measure 5 as well. Again, I have no idea whether they'll have legs, but I can't really disagree with the experts that maybe doing things in a different way makes sense right now. But I'm just wondering if these different bills get ahead of steam, whether the lawyers would have a perfect way to put it embedded in a constitutional amendment so it's clean and clear. I just don't know if it's worth it. I'm just trying to know whether my legislative people should be on the lookout for one of those for MDAC.
So, Laura, this is Nancy, and speaking for me, I would truly like to believe that a bill like that would move, but I think it's going to be a very, very heavy lift. And personally, I guess I think the less that is bound into the Constitution that requires a vote of the people to change at some point in the future, the better off we would be, and that it would be better should a constitutional amendment throwing out all or part of 5 and or 50 come to pass, that there will be piles of legislation that will need to rewrite existing statutes to take out, put in, adjust, yes. And that's probably the better opportunity at that point.
Okay. That works for me. I just need to know.
I will tell you from a debt issuance perspective, one of the things that I wish is, and if they really get down this path and are doing this heavy lift, I would love to be able to do a general obligation bond issue with some factor that was pledged to debt service without having to go to the voters for it. Because there will always be projects where you need borrowing that does not rise to the level of getting voter approval. And it would be nice to be able to do that. But that's probably beyond a heavy lift, and I will say more, but
maybe. I think that we should talk about, you know, as a commission, as to whether then to just ask our legislative staff at Treasury to stand down and keep the bill on ice. Based on the feedback we've gotten. I was just wondering if there's something else we should do. It seems to me that it's premature to do something else. That would be, I guess, what I'm reading from this. And so the question, though, is how do we get all the assessors together with DOR and make it happen if we don't use statute? In other words, do Carol or Courtney or others have some ideas as to how MDAC could be in a useful role, or maybe you don't even want us involved?
This is Courtney. Go ahead, Carol.
I was just going to say, Laura, as Nancy said, I think that to the extent this goes anywhere, which, you know, is my fondest hope, but I'm...
No, I meant just the plain old RMB thing, everybody following the same standard.
Yeah. You know, my sense is it's going to be all hands on deck if we get there, and absolutely MDAC and the group on this call have expertise that is going to be needed. I would say at this point, just keeping an eye out and letting us know whether or not things are going in this direction is all I would burden you with at this point.
Well, at the bottom of Courtney's letter, her second to last paragraph is, DOR is willing to provide informal guidance to counties on how to calculate it. Do you think it makes sense for MDAC to take a vote that we would write a letter to DOR asking them to go do that? I'm just trying to figure out how to move that informal guidance process along at this point.
Carol, I received an email from representatives of the Department of Revenue basically saying that they would send counties an email and that they would copy us when they do that.
Okay. Well,
so perhaps we can give them some time, and if we don't hear anything, we can
if we take a vote, we could pass a resolution asking Nancy and staff, will create it, to write a letter to the director and say, based on the belief, you know, we're not going to pursue HB 2391, please proceed with this informal guidance, let us know when you'll send that letter out. I'm just trying to make it actually happen, as opposed to maybe someday it will happen.
I have absolutely no objection to you guys poking them a little.
Because we're stepping down a bill that the MDAC board approved, so I'd like there to be follow through. I don't know what Nancy and other board members think, but
this, Nancy, it does make sense to me to send DOR something that says we're stepping back from this bill. It's been introduced. They know it's out there. I'm sure it's on somebody's watch list. Just because every bill ends up on somebody's watch list, even if nothing happens to it. And so sending them something saying MDAC isn't going to pursue it, and we appreciate, the efforts that they had working with our task force members and the work they've done to point out some of the challenges and complexities, and that we appreciate their more informal approach and look forward to hearing or a copy of that email. I think that would work just fine.
All right. I agree.
I'll
make a motion that we send that letter out in the next few weeks, and while we're simultaneously stepping down.
Okay. Do I have somebody who would second that?
Yeah, Nancy, this is Bryce. I'd be happy to second it.
Thanks, Bryce. So I'm not going to do this by vote, because we'll all trample on top of each other. So, Laura Lockwood McCall, your vote?
Yay.
Nick Hogan?
Yay.
Bryce Static?
Yay.
And I also vote yay, so that sounds like we've got a plan.
Okay.
Is there any other business to come before the MDAC today?
I wanted to mention for the group briefly, there's a second bill that I believe we agreed to where we were going to do a gut and stuff for a treasurer's bill regarding clarification of credit quality for investments in our local government funds. I don't know what bill that is yet, and so Martha and I are still pursuing that. I'm sure it will, at some point the treasurer will get someone to introduce it, but I haven't seen that bill yet. I don't know if anybody else has seen it, out of curiosity, but we're going to continue to work on it.
Okay. I have not seen it, but...
It was just a placeholder bill. And so whatever bill it is, we're going to have to do a gut and stuff with the language that we adopted, and it just hasn't quite happened yet.
Okay.
Laura, I'm probably out of order here, but this is Carol. I'm curious if you could describe what this bill is.
We were asked by Doug Goh and people who work with the short-term fund board to clarify that when investments are held with bond proceeds by the local government investment fund, that I think it says something like the A category, that included AA minus as well as AA plus. And I think there was just some question that came up about when they say a category under ratings that it incorporated the full range. Martha, am I right in that understanding? That's what the language said?
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. It is all of that information is also in the November meeting packet, which is...
Yeah. So they asked MDAC to sign off on that, and it was really just clarification. So that's what that particular legislation is for. And so they need to use a Treasury bill that was introduced as a placeholder that says having to do with the investment of local funds so that they can then introduce it. And because it was bond proceeds, that was part of it. That's how MDAC got involved.
Yeah, my recollection is there also was clarification on that using a common term of national rating agencies or something instead of calling out Moody's, calling out some places Moody's and Standard & Poor's, some places
Fitch. Yes, was
not.
That was your suggestion.
That was my suggestion when I read through the draft was why are some okay and some not. So it's just a little more cleanup along those lines.
Now, other people could put other stuff in the bill besides, because it's just the relating clause is just relating to investment of local government funds. But right now, that's at least the one thing that MDAC was involved in.
Sounds good. Any other questions or comments or clarification needed on that one? Anything else before the MDAC?
So, Nancy, we generally have a March board meeting while the OGFOA conference is happening this year. Do board members think we need to have that board meeting? Do we want to? Will there be other opportunities for legislative updates about a lot of different things that are going on with regard to local government finance? Is it overkill to do it at an MDAC meeting? I really want the whole group to tell me because we haven't seen any kind of schedule yet for the conference. Wondered if anyone had any insights, because I don't know, other than legislation, whether we have any other items for the commission to take up.
So I will tell you, I got an email today that OGFOA, you can start signing up for it, but the schedule is being finalized and will be available soon, and I haven't seen anything beyond that in terms of the schedule of events.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's March 10 to 13. It's at Sun River this year.
The MDAC meeting, Martha, correct me if I'm wrong, will be at 3 o'clock on the Tuesday. And so kind of what I was wondering about, like to talk about bills that affect local government finance, whether to do it there and just have an open conversation, or whether people will be burned out because it's all I will have been hearing about since Monday morning.
It's actually on Tuesday, March 12th, but it
mm-hmm.
is at 1:45 to 3:15.
Oh, okay. It's not.
Just got the email from Misty yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the question I was asking you. I think we just... Unfortunately, I thought that was when the meeting was. So, in any case, it's just something we don't have to decide today, but I wanted you to give some thought to it, Nancy, in terms of what our agenda might look like, and if anybody like Carol or Courtney or anybody else even knew what was planned. Because I'd love to talk about all the property tax things and learn more, but that's just me, and I might not go to the whole rest of the conference, but that would be a great opportunity for me to learn more. And I don't know if the investment bankers would feel similarly.
So I actually do have the conference workshops, and there isn't anything currently on property taxes, nor is there a specific legislative update session.
Uh-huh. So theoretically, would that be something that MDAC board members would like to hear about? Because we won't know everything, but there are a number of constitutional amendments that have been thrown in the hopper by both the House and the Senate. And I think they're tied to the governor's call for a sharp increase in investment in education. And I think just my guess is they're planning to do it by messing mightily with the property tax system in our state in a way that may be very positive for local government officials.
You know, Laura, I am sure there would be interest in hearing about that. I think the difficulty and the reason they don't necessarily have a legislative update planned, although it is possible, Nancy, that Wendy Johnson from LOC is going to come over Monday morning. But the difficulty, Laura, is that being in Sun River during the legislative session, it often means that even if speakers say, yes, they'll come, they end up not being able to show up.
I know, and they have crappy teleconference services, to say the least.
Exactly. So,
having said that, we just did our state rating presentations using WebEx.
Ooh.
I know, and we did it for three of them, and everybody couldn't believe it, and I had – so – let me pursue with Martha and my staff whether we could, if we have a laptop and we have Wi-Fi, we could get somebody in Salem, maybe, on the other side of that to be on a WebEx conference with us. Would that be cool?
Yes. Well, that might be very interesting coming from the trenches, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we can talk about if there's other board items, but they're still coming onto my planning horizon. And again, because all these review of all these different constitutional amendments is so fresh in my mind, I just figured, I think that OGFOA people will be really interested and, frankly, will want to jump up and down and talk about which ones they like the best of all of them, because there's a lot of different proposals out there. All you have to do is go through all the House and Senate joint resolutions 1 through 12, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, I think we can certainly talk about that as a possibility. To some extent, okay, not that I'm a cynical person, but I am.
I know.
Carol and I will tell you that we have been through this a number of times with House joint resolutions in various sizes and shapes to change the tax system, or to ditch 5, or to ditch 50, or to do something else. And they don't, even though there may be a number of bills introduced, they may not get traction because they get overtaken by something that's a shinier object in the room. So. It's something I think may be easier to make some determination about in a few weeks when session starts to see if any of these bills are getting scheduled and having hearings and actually look like something might happen this time. So,
well, and again, I guess I have the benefit of having just heard the budget director give 3 state rating presentations and talk about the governor's basically challenge to the legislature to increase funding for education, without specifics of like what that would look like, but that she's definitely trying to line up the moon and stars. The legislature has been going throughout the state talking about education, and again, that's the thing that pulls the best to change things, not necessarily city government or counties, but education for sure. And so maybe I'm putting 2 and 2 together to make 4, but it just was fascinating to me. The proposals are being sponsored by the finance and revenue of the Senate and the House revenue. Those are where some of those proposals are coming from. So maybe I'm seeing things that aren't there, but it struck me that this feels a little more coordinated across the executive and legislative branches, perhaps. But I'll let you know, you're probably right. And we have time to decide what we want to hear about, but I think maybe we could just say there'll be a placeholder for something about legislation.
Okay.
If that's okay for now, and if there's other items that either you, Sal, or other board members want to take up. We won't mail our board package or agenda till the 1st of March, or maybe a little bit after the 1st of March. And so Martha and I just will be looking for ideas to suggest to you as the chair.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If there's nothing else, then I think we'll adjourn this meeting of the MDAC, and I say thank you for all of your participation and help.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Your conference is ending now. As requested by the host, please hang.